bill that the House approved yesterday. It authorizes Putin in a military court system. Earlier today, the Senate rejected an amendment to the bill that would have given suspected terrorists the right to challenge their court. Also on Capitol Hill today, in a voice vote, the House passed the Iran Freedom Support Act, which imposes mandatory sanctions on those who provide programs. In Afghanistan, NATO will take control of military operations across the entire country within the next few weeks. That means up to be under NATO command. The U.S. military reports river of attacks along Afghanistan's eastern frontier have tripled. A document from a researcher at a British defense think tank accuses any intelligence agency of indirectly supporting al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups, Pakistani president to disband the agency. At the White House last night, President Bush held a dinner with Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf and Afghans. He urged the neighboring countries to cooperate in the fight against terrorism. In Iraq, an audio tape said to be from the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq calls for more action of foreigners. He asserts that more than 4,000 foreign insurgent fighters have died in Iraq since the U.S. war began in 2003. In Baghdad, bodies were found dumped at several locations. A series of bombings and shootings killed 21 Iraqis and wounded dozens. It appears the Israeli military withdrawal from southern Lebanon may be delayed again about the UN peacekeeping force and the Lebanese army role. Washington today, the State Department announced the U.S. is suspending nearly 24 million Thailand in response to a recent military coup that is described back for Thai democracy. In Southern California, more than 4,000 firefighters in Ventura County. It is one of the largest and longest fires in state history, now in its 25th day. You're listening to the Quality News. This news are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. Step back from the anger and victimhood. You can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you not with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of temptation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A call for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of it within weeks rather than the months or years. An article called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage and what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question you can get on Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv today. If it's over, end it right. Collaborative V.
Several prominent scientists have formed a political organization to make public policy based on scientific evidence. It's asking the Justice Department to delay approval of a merger between AT&T and a federal judge to determine whether two other previous merger interests. On Capitol Hill today, current and former Hewlett-Packard executives to answer questions about the media spying scandal. The fourth computer company to recall Sony laptop batteries, IBM, 6,000 of the lithium-ion batteries used in ThinkPad computers. Microsoft and the British Broadcasting Corporation have reached an agreement online. Microsoft says it will sell its new Zune Music for $50. The rival to the popular Apple iPod goes on sale November. Since ESPN announced a cell phone company for sports fans closed down. And light sweet crude settled at $62.76. Trading earlier today, the Dow Jones briefly rallied past close of 11,722 that was set back in January. Close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 29 points. Points and the S&P 500 up 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
It's time for Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network, where the experts. You're back. Radio program. With your host, Guru.
Minutes past the top of the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program. Again, as you heard at the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2666. That's 1-877, the number for Head On of the Head On Radio Network, where this show is based out of. Thank you also to radiopower.org and Shelby LePre for restreaming. Excuse me. Looks like Pat Lay is actually up on the screen now talking about what's going on. Patrick, Senator Maud, so let's go ahead and tune into a little bit of this audio. Senator Leahy.
Abu Ghraib, but secret CIA prisons. countries to whom we've turned over people. That's a colossal effort, a recruiting tool for our enemies. Surely they could. When close to three-quarters of Iraqis want U.S. forces to depart, to leave their country. This is another circumstance being explored by enemies to demonize our great country. Passing, they remove the remaining checks against mistreatments of prisoners help us win the battle for the hearts and the minds. A generation of young people around the world being recruited by Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. Indefinite detention of anybody the government designates. Of course, putting them into the kind of secret prisons that we had during the Cold War. That's what our worst critics claim. That's not what American values are. That's not what our traditions, our rule of law would have us do. This is not just, this is truly a dangerous bill. Asking Secretary Rumsfeld for the last several weeks whether our actions are eliminating it. But now we understand. We are creating and we're eliminating. Our intelligence agencies agree and adapting. It's increasing in both numbers and geography. We're not making ourselves safer. We're putting us more at risk. Agencies go on to note the new jihadists with an American, anti-American agenda are increasingly like operational threat will grow not only abroad but in the homeland. This is truly chilling. The Bush changed 9/11 from happening, but for 5 years to bring Osama bin Laden to justice, even though they had him cornered and special forces out of there to send them into Iraq. Witness the growth of additional enemies. When America can be seen abandoning basic American democratic values and its checks and balances and its great traditions, and was seen becoming more autocratic, it's accountable. How's that going to help foster democratic reform? Do as I say and not as I do is a model that has never successfully inspired peoples and inspire me. Administration is yet to the Congress for the American people in connection with the secret legal justification, the secret practices it's employed in interrogating hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Practices at Guantanamo. As the actions of a bad people.
All right. Well, that's a little bit of Pat Leahy from the floor of the Senate this afternoon, speaking in opposition to the bill S-930 that I have come to know as the torture bill, habeas corpus for detainees, the bill that. Redefines in a very direct way what is and what isn't torture. What isn't torture? As long as you don't intentionally kill someone, you're okay. Do it now, that's a whole different story. But if you accidentally, oh my gosh, whoops, I tripped over the pencil and that's okay. And so what we're looking at here is the gutting of the United States of America. It very simple. I was reading you, or I was going down a story. It looked like leftist groups may actually be enemy combatants. Let me just read you a little bit more of this. Nebulous definition of enemy combatant. So too is the definitely vague. Does a blog community quantist group are only groups that have the means and intent to organize going to be targeted? Does organizing a peace protest fi? Is wielding a leftist idea going to be considered as, going to be considered as the United States as much as wielding a weapon? Yes, these are all questions to which we don't have answers. All the recent history of government agents infiltrating peace groups surely points in the worst possible. What do we know? Yes, those of us who are summarily identified will not be guaranteed the right to have a federal court review the legitimacy of our imprisonment on cement in terrorism. Basically what I just told you is that the government is moving and more toward anyone that opposes ideas. One of the most chilling actions of Specter's amendment guaranteeing habeas corpus is that the underlying quote, foreign civilians in the United States citizens, end quote, to be deemed enemy combatants and thusly charged indefinitely on grounds that they supported against the United States. And in the report, it equalized terrorists with or separatist groups. Does that mean that you and I, does that mean we're on the short list? Does that mean the Head On Radio Network is on the short list of folks that may end up in Guantanamo Bay? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Bush, and all you EA, NSA, NDEA, CIA, alphabet soup bastards. Let me just tell you something, listening to this. I'd like to give you a quick little word from Bruce. You know what? You're going to have to do that to get me off, to do that to keep me from speaking the truth that I know is true and that I know millions of people. This nation is about dissent. This is about speaking our minds and being able to state our opinions in a way that anyone else. And being able to want to say and influence legislation and do whatever we want to do because we're free here. Whether you're a leftist or a rightist group, it does not matter. But today, as they debate this on the floor of the Senate, we may well be seeing the end of that. We may well be seeing the end of that. It's 15 minutes past the program. If you want to get in on the show today, you have that opportunity. Tell us 777-443-2366. You can also email me if you are so inclined. .com. Let's take a break. I'll be right back.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse of education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk of ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fast, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. And do we have a deal for you? At Concord than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's what has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University Work, 1-888-384-5255.
What's Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is Head On with Bob.
Hope that George Bush had, after he raped the Treasury, he ripped us off. The only hope he had for balancing out the that he had to go and hang in China was to take control by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China and on the other end act as the dealer outside this little junkie. Does this make sense?
Makes perfect sense, but I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, only at headonradionetwork.yourpower.org.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. You're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around. All the new technology in the world can't create for our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, even the air we breathe, are limited. It improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have information and services they need to plan their families and help build a health. Population Action International is working to promote planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org.
right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Pro. Here, America, here on the Head On Radio Network. I am experiencing here in my where my studio is located here in Greensboro. A nasty thunderstorm is rolling through, and I'm going to be honest with you that I can continue on for the rest of the program, at least not for another minute until it rolls through possible tornadic activity. But we'll go as long as I can until I see some really bad wind blowing the trees sideways or whatever. Actually, it looks like our good friend Bob Kincaid will pick up for the rest of the show. But I did want to sort of recap before I go off the air, cap what's going on and how and what we can do. You know, this doesn't mean that the end of America as we know it. This is yet another reason why we cannot trust the right wing. We cannot trust them to do the right, because they're a bunch of thugs and a bunch of criminals, and they want to run every part of your life. They used to say about us. They used to say the Democrats always want to run your life. The Democrats want to take do that. They want to take your guns away. Well, what good are your guns? The FBI and the CIA and the DEA and everybody else knocking at your door telling you. What good does that do you? Experiencing one of the most harrowing times in our history. I cannot make it any plainer than that. I suggest very strongly, October 5th, right? Whoever is listening, you go out into the streets for and wait. You may not agree with their politics. You may not agree with everything that they... We have to go out in mass to stand against this treachery that has taken over our government. Next. What's next? Opening our mail? What's next? Limiting what we can say? I ask you this question because you are the American citizen. This is going to affect down the road. I am angry. Today I have I've had it. I've had it up to the top that these people have pulled and the idiocy of this administration. Yeah, he is the stupid guy, but you know what he's got around him? He's got people around him, and they're doing it. And we can't help it. We can't stop them to power. But you know what we can do? We can go out into the streets. We avail ourselves of those rights until, you know, there will be a day that they may not let us do. So we better do it while we have the opportunity. That's what we need to do. Let's go ahead and take one quick phone call. Andrew, line one. Andrew,
how you doing, Bruce? I'm mad as hell, too, man. This is ridiculous. This Corp is, they're going to give this jackass the excuse to detain anybody at his own whim, no matter where they are in the entire world. I mean, so I guess anybody who's an enemy combatant is for democracy, because they damn sure aren't. Washington, D.C., the entire Democrat and Republican alike, they let this go through. Period. None of them.
That's right.
None of them. They're done. That's it. They said they sold us out.
They have completely sold us out, you know, and it's shameful. And you know what? When they come back up at their offices and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yep.
You had the opportunity to stop this and you didn't. What kind of American are you?
Yeah, still our treasury. But now they got to steal our very last rights. They stole in our privacy. They stole in our treasury. Now they're stealing a day in court. You know?
Yep.
I mean, they then took everything away from the American people. The American experiment, if this passes, and that's the bottom line.
There's nothing and nobody standing in its way.
The Democrats aren't doing it because they have an ace in the hole. They must know that they're not going to be ones that are going to get picked up. You know? They must know something that we don't know.
Well, that sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Huh?
I said it sure seems like it, doesn't
it? But it's a sick joke. That's all it is. I mean, 200 plus years down the toilet. And America has not always been, you know, a model of, has been a model nation. Lord knows it hasn't. But this is just unbelievable. It's just like, whatever, dude. I mean, I'll be honest, any head-on radio network, I'll be honored to sit by them in Guantanamo with these fascists. Inside with these fascist sons, because this is just ridiculous.
Drew,
I mean, you try.
We'll talk about the good old days. And do what they do, yeah. As they please. We'll talk about the good old days when a man could actually face charges that he's being charged with.
Hey, this is bull. Let the man go. Hey, if you did a crime, own up to it, and they detain you, You should be able to be released. You should be released. That's the bottom line. You know, but now they didn't take the court for that, too. So, hey, there's nothing left.
You know, and what, you know, what I read to you about, you know, I got to tell you, Andrew, you know, concerned about detainee rights. Absolutely, I'm concerned about detainee rights because I'm concerned about everyone's human rights in this world. But I'm also very concerned about the fact that there's the term leftist group as if
that's what they want.
As if we're terrorists.
When you mention that, and after all, we're wrong because we're the opposition. I mean, they're in their pocket. That's them. You know, that's a bullhorn. They're after us. They're after the bloggers. They're after the interneters. Holds democratic values to heart. Really believes in the system the way it should operate. That's who they're all of us, guy. That's it. That's it, Bruce. Of us. We're the last bastion of democracy, and they this so-called detainee bill. That's
it. Really makes me wonder, Andrew. It really makes me wonder what is the ultimate goal of all this?
I don't know.
I mean, is it a complete authority over? I mean, you know, what is it?
They want complete.
I mean, why though? Why would they want complete control over us, over everyone?
Because they know we're the opposite. They know that what they're doing globally. We don't approve what they're doing in Iraq. That's what they want to do. They want to do what? They want to do what Nazi Germany tried to do. They want to and. With that broad region, like you said before, would declare anybody worldwide an enemy combatant or against terror? That's, hey, what else is that? Why would he have to put the word? Why couldn't he just, they want to control the entire globe? That's it. They want to control the entire globe.
It's like my mind is all of a sudden clicking. All this global NAFTA, CAFTA,
all of that crap. That's all it is.
And what this is, what this happens to be, is to back up those economic policies.
Yeah. All the economic policies, all the free trade, all that BS, all everything. They want to control the entire world. That's what they want to do. That's the end game. Control over everything. They have all our money. They raided the treasury. They took our privacy. The American people are done. They didn't got it here. It's less for them to take. So they're looking globally.
We've gotten completely lazy too, haven't we?
Not at all. So now they got to go elsewhere and get more. They're not going to stop with just us. That's it. What else is for? Why would they put that clause in there? Anybody in the entire world, he can do. That could be a political leader. Anybody is anybody. A nun, a priest, whatever. Your dog,
as long as they're in opposition to the current administration, the deal is.
Yeah. They want global domination. And whoever wants lockstep with them, and they can be a robot in it. But anybody who's against that, free will and think on their own and people, to hell with you. We're going to throw you in jail. We're going to disappear. We're going to raid your house at 4 in the morning. The dead of the night. During the day. In the dead of the night, they'll come knock and just kick. And anybody who you associate with. Because they're paranoid freaks, too. Paranoid freak killers. That's what they are.
I hope this republic, I hope that you and I survive this, Andrew.
Well, not the way it doesn't look
right
now. But
I know where I'll be on October 5th. I'm going to be out in the streets, my friend.
Yes.
That night, because I'll be out in the streets that day.
Yeah, we got to.
Hopefully there won't be a replay because I'm sitting in jail. But
that's a big possibility.
But you know what? I'm also very prepared to make that sacrifice as well.
We got to do it. Got to do it. Got to get on the street. I mean, I try to tell people, I'm like, hey, people, let's go. But, you know, laissez-faire attitude, like everything's going to be okay, but people don't see it. So it's too late. And to be the only man standing on the corner with a picket sign. Yeah. Hey, that's the way it got to be. That's the way it got to be. At least I know I tried.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to do.
Well, I think we're going to do what we have to, continue moving forward and
continue trying to fight the big machine, the big noise right. machine, fascist noise machine, and that's all you can do. Hope everything turns out okay, but I think this is a September surprise. Yeah, I think that, I mean, because look, if you think about that, everybody talk about the October surprise, it's like, what are they going to do? Either they're going to catch Osama, dead or alive, or dropping bombs on Iran, okay? Or, number three, there's going to be a terrorist attack. Those are the three options they got, in that order. So that one, of catching Osama, is, you know, informed. Number two, you know, that one, you know, number two, they could do that. They could, you know, do that pretty easily, too. Like, so, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think honestly, you know, and let me just, the quick program, though, tomorrow I'm going to have on a columnist who has written extensively about the October years and seems to have her pulse right on Rove's wrist there. So it'll be interesting to see what she has to say.
This is the precursor, because if the elections don't go, I had a poller call me last night, okay?
Uh-huh.
And are you going to vote in November elections, yada, yada, yada. I started polling him, and of course he couldn't answer some of my questions because he said that was due to poll. He said, how do you feel about the electronic voting machines? Diebold in particular. I like those. And one of them, I said, yeah, okay. I said, you have a nice night now. Obviously.
Hey, that's when you ask some telephone numbers. And listen, let me call you later and talk about this.
Yeah. Forward, man. That's all.
That's right. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate the call, my friend.
Take it easy, Bruce.
Okay. That's our good friend, Andrew. All right, let's take a quick break. Get right back to the phone lines. I think the storm that I had warned you about that I might have bobbed is letting up at this point. It rains, you know, actually sideways for a good 20 minutes or 10 minutes there, clearing up a bit. So we're going to go ahead on through to the end of the show. This is Bruce Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org, 774-432-366. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive listen to over at progressive.org. So it turns out that the nation's estimate on terrorism does confirm what we've been saying all along, that the Iraq war, in the words of the estimate, which is the sum of the wisdom of our seen intelligence agencies, Bush's Iraq war has become a cause celebre for the news report said that the estimate listed the Iraq jihad as one of the four underlying factors that are fueling the spread of the jihadist movement. Relevant declassified passage closely, you'll see that Iraq played a role in three of the four underlying factors. The first factor is entrenched, which includes fear of Western domination. And the Iraq war certainly has dominating than occupying a Muslim country for years on. The factor is the Iraq jihad itself. Bingo. The third factor is this one doesn't apply. But the fourth factor is pervasive U.S. sentiment among most Muslims. Again, the Iraq war contributed. So three of the four factors identified by our communities relate to the Iraq war. How Bush can then turn around a rosier scenario with fewer extremists joining the movement if we weren't in Iraq is not only beyond me, but beyond his own experts. No matter the facts, he keeps to the script. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteer.
Projects with the kids. Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods. We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
Good defense.
Are you into it?
Are you in program for kids like you who care? If you want to make a difference in your community, toll free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
Yeah!
A public
public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, where we try to the chicanery of this vulture-like administration voting in the well of the Senate. They are on the bill to give up telling you about all afternoon. Currently voting on it right now. Senate number 3930, the detainee. And I guess we'll know, perhaps before the end of the program, the result and whether or not we still have an America worth defending or not. Let's go right back to the phone lines. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-6. Dave from Eureka, California, line 2. Dave, how are you doing today?
Well, Bruce, there have been better days. I share the view of many that today will rank among one of the worst days in this country's history, and we've sure had our share of them over the last 5 years.
That is for sure.
I had shared you, and I've been trying to get this across to as many people as I can, because I think that makes sense to me, and then the more I think about it, the more it's that we all know, you know, I know, all of us know, that you do not get reliable testimony when you torture people. That I'm being tortured, I'm probably going to tell you what you want to hear. And
exactly.
So if what it's all about is just that, if indeed the people to say what they want to hear, the lines of, we are saying that, yes, the nuclear threat to the world, and now settling torch off my foot. yeah.
I did all of those things you said. Please take my ass, would you please?
There you go. Because that people say whatever we want to say, and they want to be able to present affidavits to the Congress, to the United Nations, to and then they'll say later, the Congress and the United Nations saw the same evidence that we saw. They had the same evidence, and they came to the same plan was a major threat and had to be invaded. That goes back to the earliest PNAC plans, you know. They have been this global domination thing. There are some truly, truly dreadful criminals that have stolen this government.
And they have stolen it. I mean, you know, I was reading to the editor here locally in the local newspaper today that said the Alex, and I thought, well, boy, that sure is making an awfully large votes that are taken are actually recorded the way that they're given.
The people that our machines select for us.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? Does that mean that the Energizer Bunny does? I mean, who does it? You know, who knows? I mean, and Dave, you're absolutely right. You know, and let's just get that out there. Project for a New America, about that. Project for a New American Century. Isn't it the website newamericancentury.org?
That's one, I believe. iFital.com, because he kind of spells it out for you, what page and all. But
right, Ray Taliaferro, who is a KGO in San Francisco.
Right.
Dave, you know, earlier, a little while ago, right before this call, I had Andrew on, and Andrew and I were talking this very issue, and one of the things that sort of clicked in my mind was that these trade policies being put in place, we have the WTO, we have the GATT, we have the FTAA, Free Trade Association of America. Do you think that is sort of like the economic globalization, and what they're doing today is more of a punitive arm to ensure the success of the economic arm?
See, I haven't, because I don't, I'm not knowledgeable on this, but I was hearing from Andrew and yourself in the previous call. I will have to think about it. I do believe that today is the end of it, yes, where they will be able to dig up whatever by using methods that are going to be pretty primitive. The day they snuck the Patriot Act in on us, because we are losing semblance of a free nation we have had, and we're losing it fast. Our rogue plan for how to do it, you know, how can anyone, if Churchill were alive, he could say never before in history has so few done so much harm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slight quote,
it.
But I love your program. I love the whole horn lineup thing, and I hope you reach every voice everywhere to be done.
We're doing our best to try to do that. And, you know, Dave, I mean, you can help, too. I mean, anytime you get a chance, we're speaking what you want to hear and speaking what you believe people know. I mean, who knows? We might be speaking their truth, too.
Well, I go to a discussion group, and we were visited this time by a young lady that listens only to Limbaugh and Fox and believes, I guess. So.
Boy, that must suck.
It's all the truth, and she just, you know, the liberals, and anything that would refute any of that. I thought, man, they really do exist out there. That's big listening audiences, so.
Yeah, well, they claim to, anyway. It's probably Alabama or something.
Huh.
But Dale,
I appreciate you being there, Bruce.
And look for you real soon, my friend.
Will do.
All right. That's our good friend Dave from joining us on the line. And let's take a very fast break. And we come back for the day here on the Bruce Birch Radio program. Be back with you again. Glad to get through the storm and coming back down on the other side. On Radio Network, being simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
Of democracy pinned up against the outhouse of bureaucracy, surrounded by movements of poverty. I'm barely out of sight. Oh, Lord, just keep me at evening. The people on the night.
The United Brotherhood of Complex Needs by providing productivity, reliability, accuracy, safety, leading mill rights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
About 10 minutes to the top of the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program. We are steadily moving down toward the bottom of the show. And, you know, today we've been talking about this whole insane detainee bill and what's been going on with it. They're still voting, by the way. They're still voting on the floor of the Senate, and you can actually check that out on C-SPAN 2 if you are interested in that. And, of course, it's not worth playing the audio to you because they're just walking around, and it's every now and then somebody walks up and the guy goes, Mr. Sambler, Mr. Sambler's eye, Johnson, you know, whatever. You know what's sad? And maybe this is me coming down from the, some of the anger I had earlier on in the show, but what is sad to me is that, you know, my daughter came up to me a few minutes ago here during the break, and she said to me, this is a freshman in high school, and she says to me on, you know, while I was off air, and she says to me, Dad, she says, Daddy, she says, didn't it used to be that people would come here because they wouldn't get tortured? My heart is heavy. Because I said to her, yes, that's right. People used to come here because they wouldn't get tortured. And sadly, that day is no more. Sadly, that day is no more. We are no longer the nation that is known to be humane and to take the higher ground and to be the nation of principle and promise. And you know what? I don't hate America. I love America with every fiber of my being, but I do not love the America that these bastards are turning it into. I love the America that births people like John F. Kennedy. I love the America that ascribed itself to a higher calling. That indeed, in the eyes of the law, all men and women are created equal. I love the America where, you know, where justice prevailed and not partisan hackery. But sadly, those days are gone. Sadly, those days are gone. You know, and that's just it. You know, on the one hand, we can, I'll say that, you know. And I'll follow it up by saying this. On the other hand, we haven't lost yet, ladies and gentlemen, because we still have a breath left in our being. We're still drawing air. We're still walking around on two legs, some of us. And as long as we have that opportunity, and as long as we are drawing breath for one more day, yes, that gives us one more opportunity to try to do it a little bit differently, to try to drive these people from power and to fix what they have broken with this country. We owe it to our sons and our daughters. We owe it to those who came before us and died and spilled their blood to protect what these senators, what these bastards are giving away. And they're giving it away so easily, and they're laughing about it, and they're joking about it, and they're ready to get home so that they can go to their cocktail parties and their campaign fundraisers and meet and drink and have fun because it's just another day's work, right? Just another day's work for a senator. And tomorrow, when the senators or the end of the week, when the senators go back to their districts and the president puts a pen to this bill and makes it a law, it'll just be another day's work for the CIA interrogator, who is a specialist in one thing, waterboarding. Another day's work. Many, many months ago, last year at this time, I had a different radio program called All Things Reconsidered, and on that program I had a gentleman on who was a singer-songwriter. And one of the songs that he wrote about was the torturing that went on during the Biko, during South Africa's apartheid. And how those torturers there did very much the same thing. They went out and they tortured people, and then they went home at the end of the day and they kissed their wife and their kids. It's all in a day's work. It's a damned shame that we have resorted to that and that we have sanctioned this. And as I'm watching these senators mill about on the floor of the Senate, as I'm watching them do their talking and their joking and their laughing, I say to each one of you, senators, may history judge you to be the cowards that you are. May history judge you to be the men who gave away America, who caused the loss of the war on terror, because you did not stand strong for the principles of our nation. Tomorrow, as the immigrants said, today we rest. Ladies and gentlemen, today we rest. Today we soak in the knowledge. Today we soak in what has become of this nation. And tomorrow we fight. This has been the Bruce Burch Radio Program. I'd like to thank Zach Rebich for producing the program today. I would also like to thank our good friend John Fox for being the announcer of this radio program and the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. I also want to thank Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services, Tallahassee, Florida, for being our chief IT professional. Gene up in Oregon, our Head On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! Thank you, Gene. I also want to thank our good friend Ben Burch at the White Rose Society for archiving this show and for managing the streams and the archives of all of the shows on the radio on the Head On Radio Network. I also want to thank Shelby LaPre at RadioPower.org for being our streaming partner and for getting this program out to many, many more people. Thank you so much, Shelby, for everything you do. I also want to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. You guys are building the American dream, and today we're trying to take back America as it's being yanked out from under us. Thank you for joining me today for a little trip down the progressive path as we've tried to pick this thing apart. Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, U.S. military commander General George Casey said Iraqi forces should be capable of taking over security within the next 12 to 18 months. Iraqi leaders have agreed to develop a timeline for stabilizing the country with the U.S. pledging support. However, to bring a halt to the rising sectarian violence in Baghdad, General Casey said that he was considering sending more troops to the capital. October has been one of the deadliest months for U.S. forces since the war began, with 91 American soldiers killed so far this month. In Baghdad, the U.S. military is conducting house-to-house searches for a U.S. soldier of Iraqi descent who was kidnapped by gunmen, handcuffed, and forced into a car on Monday while he was visiting a relative's house. The Israeli Army's chief of staff stated that in the Gaza Strip, Palestinian militants are constructing an underground city where weapons are stored. He added that these tunnels located in urban areas could be used in future attacks against Israeli forces. A United Nations Security Council draft resolution will urge a ban on the sale of missile and nuclear technology to Iran. The resolution is expected in response to Iran's refusal to halt its uranium enrichment program. China's foreign ministry said that North Korea is not planning another nuclear test and under certain conditions is willing to return to six-party talks. Human Rights Watch is criticizing a recent National Labor Relations Board decision that it says strips some workers of work-related protections. The group says that the ruling, which allows employers to classify workers with little authority as supervisors, violates labor and human rights laws. U.S. election officials say that the major overhaul of voting procedures mandated after the disputed 2000 presidential elections may create delays in the tallying process in next month's midterm elections. The possibility of long lines, a shortage of trained precinct workers, new voting equipment, and voter mistrust of new technology may delay the vote tallies in some races by days or weeks. Hurricane Paul has been downgraded to a tropical storm today. Paul is expected to reach the Baja Peninsula early tomorrow. In the largest study ever devoted to the effects of flu shots on children, U.S. researchers have found that flu shots are safe for children and involve only minimal side effects. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 250 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at QualityNewsNetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune into the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
A new study finds that eating vegetables at least twice a day may help to slow the mental decline associated with aging. Green leafy vegetables such as spinach are the most beneficial. The World Wildlife Fund reports that if current consumption trends continue, especially in first world countries like the U.S., humans will need two planets' worth of natural resources by the year 2050. Federal Reserve policymakers are meeting tomorrow to decide whether interest rates will be changed, but most economists predict that the current 5.25% rate will remain unchanged for the third month in a row. In Tokyo today, executives from Sony apologized for the inconvenience their global battery recall has caused to customers. The online financial services company TD Ameritrade said it lost $4 million in the fourth quarter because of identity theft fraud. The Associated Press reports that thousands of U.S. troops are so deeply in debt that they are not being sent overseas. Last year, more than 2,600 troops had their overseas clearances revoked due to Pentagon fears that financial problems make troops more susceptible to bribery and treason. BP reports its third quarter profit fell 3.6% due to production losses in Alaska and higher British taxes. Light sweet crude settled at $59.39 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones reached a new record high, closing up 11 points at 12,128. The NASDAQ was down 11 points and the S&P 500.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. This ain't just any little old radio network, you know. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. And what's more, goodness me, look at us, all grown up. We're a year old today. Oh, I remember in the bad old days of terrestrial radio when the yammerish little ignorant wingnut who operates the board from 10 a.m. to noon over there in bad old terrestrial radio land said, "Oh, you know, he's not really radio. He's on the Internet." Yeah, we're on the Internet. He reaches about 23 people a day, and poor little us, we're only reaching in the thousands. Hoy to thousands, Morgan to millions. Damn right. Like I said, I'm Bob, and you know, you'll forgive me for being a little bit thrilled. You know, this is a milestone. This is Free Speech for America, a year old. This is real American radio, 1 year old today. 1 year old in this manifestation, I might add. I mean, we're actually what I've been. I'm older than Air America, yeah, so you know, I'm proud of that, and I'm proud to have you along. And I want to go. I want to go straight to a guest because it's much later where our guest is across the pond. We're joined by Chris Floyd on the phone from the United Kingdom. Chris writes for Truth Out, Chris, welcome to the program. I know you've published other things since this particular article, but since this is an internet radio station, internet radio network, I should say, what happens on the internet and the security and freedom of people on the internet are of sublime importance to us. You you have discovered some genuine ugliness in the halls of academe with regard to internet security, have you not?
Oh, well, yeah, we had an article in Truth Out last week that I wrote about it's a program where these university consortiums are signing up with the Department of Homeland Security to develop these technologies. Well, the one I wrote about was one specific one. It's developed. It's called sentiment analysis software that will allow the government intelligence agencies to sift millions of articles, press articles, and whatever else they want to get a hold of for negative opinions of the United States. Or its leaders. This is what the New York Times reports. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to find negative opinions about Bush and his policies because these could, quote, pose potential threats to the nation. So they want to. So it's part of a whole suite, if you will, of programs that are being done through various university consortiums with universities like Cornell. Let's see who else we have here. Cornell, Pitt, University of Utah, University of Illinois. There was another, Ivy League school in there. I don't have all in front of me right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But these are several universities. These are many universities. They've got millions of dollars of contracts from the Department of Homeland Security. Rutgers, that was the other one. They've got millions of dollars of contracts to do different forms of called information extraction, which using computers to scan, again, millions of articles all over the world. Now what, ostensibly what they're doing, in the one that I wrote about, was to examine the foreign press to find out, you know, I don't know what. I mean, this is as if we don't already have people reading the main newspapers.
Well, this is like saying that the government is shocked to find out that there are people out there who don't like George Bush, Chris.
Well, they're not shocked about it. They just want to find out who it is, you see. But the point being is that this technology, which, you know, the good people at Cornell, which is leading one consortium, say, and I'm sure the scientists involved sincerely believe, you know, we're working on the science. This is interesting science to do. And that'll all be used in an above-board way, and they won't be used against the domestic, you know.
Oh, no, never.
But, of course, we already know, as you know, and we all know, that Bush openly says that he's not bound by these laws. He's not bound by any laws that prevent us from surveillance on the domestic Americans because that's part of his whole warrantless surveillance program. So these programs, and also, these programs aren't limited, although they're being developed. The one I'm talking about is being developed supposedly for newspapers and journals and things like that, which will be examined. There's no bar to using this technology on any kind of information system or any sort of communication system, which includes the Internet or anything else they want to do. And, of course, I mean, websites are part of the program, too. So, again, it's something that, as I say here, as I say in the article, it's like so many other of the Bush measures, you know, the Bush policies that have quietly stripped away our liberties. This one is beginning with a whimper, not a bang. You know, it's a small program, $10 million here and there. They're just working on the technology right now. But this is just a very, I think it's emblematic of the whole the thing that's going on.
Well, I remember when the Bush administration first came to power, Chris, and do you remember, of course you do, that evil old Iran-Contra thug William Poindexter, Admiral Poindexter, and he proposed something called total information awareness, and they got caught at it and said, oh, we won't do that. We'll never do that. These are little bitty bits and pieces, most likely, of that discredited so-called dismantled program. I mean, is that a fair guess?
Oh, that's not a fair guess. That's a foregone conclusion, I think. I mean, this is all part of, I mean, there's several different programs. I'm concentrating on these in this article, but yes, this is all part of the total information awareness. I mean, it never went away. Poindexter finally went away. I mean, it took a little golden handshake to go back to the corporate world and make more millions. This is a convicted felon, by the way, Admiral Poindexter, who was convicted of lying to the representatives of the American people during Iran-Contra, which was, as you remember, of course, where they used drug running and gun running to fund a terrorist army in Nicaragua,
right,
while making deals with Iranians. But you know, aside from that moral exemplar, yes, the whole program of TIA is being put together, you know, piecemeal by piecemeal and different things, parceled out in all these little contracts, you know, for these universities. Oh, University of Southern California, that's another University of Illinois, Pitt, Rutgers, all these people. You know, were the universities, you know, bastions of enlightenment and independence? No, they're working for the Department of Homeland Security to put together this spyware, which will devour reams of private information in every direction. And what they're paying these universities to do is to refine this data into actionable intelligence. You know, anybody can, I mean, you get a program that just plows through all kinds of articles and picks up words. But what they want to do is read what the meaning of these words are so they can tell you, I don't know, they can tell you some blog in Kuala Lumpur or something that has something bad to say about Bush. Maybe you can send a goon around to get rid of this guy or whatever you want to do. But yeah, that's what they're doing is they're trying to refine this data into actionable intelligence, which includes automated discernment.
But we're talking, Chris,
against the president.
Yeah, we're talking in terms of, you know, somebody saying something bad about the president. But actually, there's more nuance to these programs, aren't there? I mean, this is real weird sort of artificial intelligence stuff, as at least as I read your report.
Yes.
This is sentiment analysis.
Sentiment analysis. Yes, it's not just saying, you know, of course you could. Also, it's easier to build a program that would say, you know, George Bush is a murderer. I mean, they'd have to pull that off my website every other day.
Yeah.
But, no, this is to go into things about to teach these machines to recognize, yes, nuance and subtleties, you know, where it might not immediately be apparent that a comment is negative. But also, there's another part of this program, is that it's the intelligence agencies themselves that will ultimately program these things to tell the machines what is negative and what isn't negative. Now, see, it could be a statement of fact. You could say the United States is in deep trouble in Iraq. Well, is that a statement of fact, or do the intelligence or services want that to be, you know, a negative statement? So it's all there.
Right. Or if you say the U.S. is in deep trouble in Iraq, you know, if you go and read Free Republic or any of the other filthy little right-wing sites, you'll find out that saying something like that is un-American. And I have no doubt that deep in the bowels of some Bush administration intelligence cavern, that saying that we're in deep trouble in Iraq manifests a sentiment, Chris, that is negative in its nature toward President Bush or the government or whatever. And what scares me, what really, really, honest to God, terrifies me out of all of this is the idea that it gives us an advance glance at how they're going to define sedition or treason or treating with the enemy or giving aid and comfort to the enemy. This is how they're going to get their little hands around the neck of the First Amendment, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you think, well, they're already defining this. As you know, the same day that, practically the same day that I was writing this, Bush signed the Military Commissions Act, that bill, which states that he can arbitrarily declare anyone, and yes, American citizens are part of it, an unlawful enemy combatant for any action that he arbitrarily decides constitutes material support for terrorists. Now, you know, you could say that, they've already said openly, you know, Cheney makes these speeches all the time that, and of course, as you say, the Freepers and all these people that, you know, anyone who criticizes the war is objectively pro-terrorist. You know, they're giving aid and comfort to the terrorists. Well, now they've got a law passed by Congress, signed by the president, that says the president himself can determine that you are an enemy combatant if he himself determines personally that you you've given material support to terrorists, and he himself will determine what material support means, and then he will put you in jail for as long as he wants to put you in jail for. And all this, you know, and he can subject you to strenuous interrogation techniques that were passed by the law. All this comes down to what he wants to do. He's defining these things. So these things are already being defined. You know, we can already be, according to this law that's passed, if they wanted to push it as far as they want to, as far as it can be pushed.
And the programs you're talking about, I mean, it's not, this isn't something that Congress had to pass a law on. This was just a little executive order that floated down, and $10 million went here and another $10 million went there. I mean, you're looking at the United States from a fairly unique perspective, Chris, you know, being as you're in another land. We're in real trouble over here, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. And there's no question that this stuff is being done. Of course, in our day and age, as if congressional oversight would mean anything anyway.
Well, true.
But no, this doesn't have to go through Congress. This is just these are small contracts doled out. You know, $10 million here, $2 million here. The one, main one I write about is a $2.4 million contract.
Chump change. You know what I mean? I mean, who's
what's
gonna,
that? I'm sorry.
I said it's chump change. Who's going to look at $2.4 million?
Yeah, no, looking at that. You know, I mean, Duke Cunningham used that much on to buy something for his sailboat or something. You know.
Exactly.
So they don't worry about that kind of thing. And so this is what the article is about. This is what's going on. And of course, the point of all this is that why do they need this software? Because I point out in the article is that, you know, all governments read their notices in the press, foreign and domestic. You know, the Bush administration already has people reading everything that's written about them in any sort of mainstream or any sort of, you know, influential way. They already know about it. They already know about it. So if they already know about it, then what do they want this program for? And it's the same logic. It's the same logic as the warrantless surveillance program, because we know, I mean, as you know, we've had this long-established law that would allow Bush or any president to give them the power to spy on anyone who's even remotely suspected of a connection to terrorism. And they can do it immediately without jumping through a single bureaucratic hoop, but they can do it immediately, you know, without, they can get the operation going. So who then is this warrantless surveillance program aimed against? It can't be against the terrorists because they were already covered by existing law. In the same way, is this, you know, who is this sentiment analysis program aimed at? It can't be aimed at, you know, influential papers overseas because they've already covered that. It can't even be aimed at influential, you know, media figures in the United States because they're already covered. I'm sure, you know, they're already reading the New York Times.
That's what makes
they already know the nuances of the New York Times. So who is it aimed against? Who is this aimed against? This is the great question, you see. And
it's got to be aimed against the people of the United States, doesn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's got to be aimed against the people of the United States, ultimately.
Yes, it's aimed against the people of the United States. It's the same way, you know, as you start connecting one little dot to another dot, the same way this contract for Halliburton, you know, that came out a few months ago, where they were given this, what, multi-billion-dollar contract to build detention centers in the United States. For, you know, for who? Who are they building detention centers to cover tens of thousands of people? You know, that's the question of all this. That's the thing you have to ask. Every time you read these innocuous pieces in the newspaper about this program, that program, this program, you have to ask, who is it really aimed against? Who is it aimed against? And that's a key question, I think.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, just to point out perhaps a little bit of the obvious, if we're talking about a program that's designed to sweep the foreign press for sentiment, the foreign press isn't necessarily printed in English. I know,
no.
I know that George Bush is one of those people who, if he hears somebody speaking French, probably screams louder in English. You know, he's just a moron. But,
well, this is what's even more ludicrous about the cover story, is that the Cornell people say, and again, I won't, you know, I think that the scientists themselves involved in this are just like so many scientists often do. It's like, oh, this is an interesting thing to do. We'd like to find out if computers can be made to read that thing. Great, we'll take this money. So, but what I'm talking about, the cover story that's being put out by the government is that they're only going to examine English language newspapers in the foreign press. Now, I happen to used to work for many years for an English language paper in Moscow, in Russia.
Sure.
You know, but there's not that many English language papers in the foreign press. You could hire a couple of grad students, sit down in the basement, and read them all in a couple of hours, you know. So, again, you come back to the question, why do you need $2.4 million worth of software to read the Moscow Times and the Prague Post and things like that, you know, the Japan Times? You don't need it, and, you know, it's aimed at something else.
Yeah, well, sure, you can pay somebody in the State Department $60,000 a year to sit and, if that much, to sit and read the newspaper. Well,
they're already paying people to do that. That's
yeah.
The whole point of this.
Yeah.
You know? So this is about something else. It's not about tracking, you know, tracking what foreign countries are thinking, you know, in order to help us craft intelligent policy. It has nothing to do with that. You know, it has to do with something else.
Well,
of course, as you say, what it has to do is you know, this attack on the American people. There's another program. This is part of this other program. These are all these data mining programs.
Mm-hmm.
This is called the ANVISE program, Analysis, yes. Dissemination, Visualization, Insight, and Semantic Enhancement Program. Now, this is a program that a couple of Democratic congressmen have actually called for an investigation. They asked the General Accounting Office to investigate the program. I think they asked in January, and I think they're still waiting.
Yeah, and will be.
Yes, all right, unless, you know, something happens in November. But this program is aimed at reading, at ripping and reading mountains of open-source data, such as websites and databases. And so you take this technology and you marry it to the sentiment analysis technology, and they can start prowling through everyone's websites and then, you know, email and all these other things to find out what's going on.
And, you know, if you look at the comments that, and I ran across this in a Reuters report just last week, comments from Michael Chertoff saying that he fears that domestic terrorists can become disaffected and transformed into terrorists here in the United States without ever having to go to an Al-Qaeda training camp just by going on the Internet.
That's true. You know, you got to squeeze down on those Internets. They're pretty dangerous.
Yeah, well, and that's what this all comes to because,
yeah,
Chris...
Of course. No, I mean, you know and I know that the Internet is far, far too free for them to allow it to go on the way it's going. I mean, they just can't. They can't allow it. I mean, they just can't. As it gets bigger and bigger, and this is the whole net neutrality sort of issue. I mean, they just
yes.
can't allow it to go on. There's two things. First, there's too much money to be made by controlling, and second, there's too much political hay to be made by controlling. They just can't let people go around saying what they want to say anytime they want to. I mean, that's just like what? That's almost like freedom. We can't have any of that.
No. We can't. I mean, you know, we're having a hissy over a movie that presents the hypothetical murder of the president, and people are coming out and screaming, who haven't even seen the movie, mind you. Oh, this is terrible. This is unconscionable. How dare they make such a filthy movie as that? You know, how dare they kill 650,000 innocent Iraqis? I mean, you know, but
yeah,
I'm crazy.
About that movie. It's actually been shown over here several times on the television. I never caught it, but... I mean, it's not even particularly anti-Bush. It's just an examination of what would happen to the United States if the president was assassinated. I mean, it has to do with that sort of thing. But,
yeah. But now if there's sentiment analysis there, you've just said president assassinated.
No, that's true. I know.
And we're subject to this data mining, the idea of trying to garner what I'm, because this is the truly, I mean, I think this distills, Chris, down into an effort to define thought crimes.
Absolutely.
If you're talking,
no, you're right. I mean, absolutely, that's what it's about. Absolutely, that's what it's about. That's what the whole the military commissions bill, the aspect where you can define material support for a terrorist. You know, it comes down to whatever you think is material support and whatever somebody's thinking. Yeah, because you know, I mean, the tools already exist. I have a tool on my website. You may have one. It's called a drill down tool. You know, I can go right down to the IP server of anybody who reads the website. And that's as far as I can go. I can find out what city they're in, things like that. But it's, all you need is a little more technology. I could find out, you know, the guy's phone number, I suppose. But so this kind of stuff has already existed. So you can just imagine. You can imagine the magnitude of intrusion that's been going on with these multi-million-dollar programs. When you take stuff that's, you know, far beyond what's already on the shelf.
Well, Chris, you write about this kind of thing, and you write about it very, very well. What kind of response do you get? I mean, is America waking up? Is anybody writing to you? Are you hearing people who are horrified? I mean, I read this thing, and I immediately wrote to you to try to get you on the program because this is the kind of stuff that makes the hairs stand up on the back of my neck.
Well, I've been getting a lot of good response. Some of my pieces on Truth Out. I started working for Truth Out a few months ago, and I've got this piece here got a tremendous amount of response. I got lots of letters from people who are very alarmed about it. I got letters from academics who are alarmed about it and who came forward with things saying, you know, you read about this, you know, you wrote about this, that's great, but what about this is going on and this is going on? So, you know, they've got a lot of, Truth has actually has a large readership.
Oh, yes.
So, the word's getting out, but the point is, you know, I've been writing about this stuff for in public, you know, and most of it for the Moscow Times, which is a mainstream paper in English language available on the Internet. I mean, I've been writing about this stuff and other people for over 5 years now. So we get the word out. The word is out there. The truth is out there.
Yeah.
It's just...
that's what I'm getting at.
Into action, you know.
Yeah, so, trying to get people to respond to it, trying to get people to understand the stakes. I mean, that, you know, that's the last line, ripping off that Lyndon Johnson ad that the RNC is using. You know, these are the stakes. No, these, what we're talking about right now, these are the stakes. The very essence of freedom is on the line. Your ability to think poorly of the President of the United States and somehow manifest that on the Internet is on the line right now. I mean, this is the stuff that... guys showing up in black suits with skinny ties in the middle of the night and dark sunglasses on. This is what that is. This is what that's made of.
Yeah, all the yes, that's right. All the infrastructure for that sort of thing, for as you know, for as repressive a regime as you want to have, is in place. I mean, it's in place now. And what's worse is that with this Republican Congress, it's being even not just secretly in place, not just by executive orders, but by the law of the land. You know, it's being put in place. So, I mean, of course, we're not living. We're not living like the Soviet Union did in the 1930s yet. We're not living like the Germans did in the 1930s yet. But the infrastructure is in place to do all that and worse, because, as I point out in my article, this intrusive technology, this privacy raping technology that they are coming up with, is far beyond the wildest dreams of even the most totalitarian states. I mean, Stalin and Hitler couldn't dream of being able to sift through what millions and millions of private messages and people's websites and people's phone records and anything they want to get. I mean, this stuff can do millions and millions and millions, just churn out this data mining. These are tools that they could have only dreamed of having, and yes, the potential is, the reality that we have now is very bad. It's very, very bad. You know, it's as I say, it's the rape of privacy. It's the destruction of the Constitution. The reality we have now is bad, but the potential of what it could lead to is just, is unimaginable.
Well, the word that you used, we're not there yet. Yet is sort of a transitive word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It implies the possibility that we can get there.
But it implies movement. Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, it's just like the Bob Dylan song, Not dark yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. Well, I mean, the other question that I had, what about Europe? What about Great Britain? What about what I like to think of as the civilized world? How are they responding to this kind of news coming out of the United States? I mean, do they see the rising shadow of a fascist empire on the horizon?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm living here in Britain now. And Britain has, the UK has many of the same things going on.
Right.
They don't have quite that advanced technology. But on the other hand, UK is already the most, I don't know what the word is, surveilled society in the world. But they have, like a surveillance camera on practically every corner. Some of it's for traffic, some of it's for private business. But I mean, I read this recently, you could walk down, if you spend the day in London, you will probably be photographed more than 300 different cameras, you see. And they even use an experimental program over here, where in some cities, what they do is not only do they track you, the police are tracking you, there's a camera watching you downtown. They'll even speak to you if they see you do something like throw litter on the street, say. So, and I've seen cases, hello, the woman in the brown dress, please pick up that litter and put it in the trash, this sort of thing, put that liquor away. So, this is the kind of thing that's going on in Britain. I mean, Britain is actually, in some degrees, they're even more farther advanced in a police state than the United States, but at the same time, it's not all that popular, so it's hard to say. I mean, the Britain too seems like a paralyzed society. I mean, except now before the war, we did get 2 million people out on the street here, but recent polls show that more than 65% of the Britons say, get out of Iraq by the end of the year, which is only a couple months from now. But I mean, these are they're big cut and runners over here because they know what a freaking disaster it is.
Yeah.
Britain is very much like the United States in being sort of paralyzed, and it's even worse over here because there's not any opposition party. The opposition party is the Tories, who are to the right of the right wing Blair, the Bush
yeah,
allies.
You can lose or lose worse. Exactly. And, of course, your current piece that's there at Truth Out addresses a little bit of this. Britain is taking a little foray into some Muslim bashing of its own right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is... Yeah, you're right. This is a campaign that they suddenly just came out of the blue. This stuff all about the veil. It's all about, how awful it is these women go veiled. And, I mean, personally, I find the veil offensive, I suppose. I don't think women should be veiled. But I don't think the government should be. But what they're using it is a tool to demonize Muslims. Because, as I point out, I think in the article that I wrote, first of all, the Muslim population in Britain is minuscule. It's 3% of the whole population of Britain. It's 1.6 million people. And the amount of Muslim women in Britain who wear the veil is 5%. So we're talking about 5% of less than half of 3% I don't even know what that figure is. A few.
That's some itsy bitsy math.
Or something. A few thousand, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been used as the wedge to demonize entire Muslim population, and this is, I think, to distract from the gigantic disaster that's going on in Iraq.
Well, that would, you know, that makes sense, and it also raises, you know, by pointing out that there are people wearing veils, it raises a fundamental Western, I think, and particularly American distaste as well for masking. You know, most states here, especially southern ones, have anti-masking statutes now that are a direct and proximate result of the Klan.
Yeah.
You know, we cherish supposedly free speech, and we cherish free expression, but we don't like people who want to express themselves and yet don't want us to know who they are. So, you know, it speaks to something viscerally objectionable to say that, well, you know, these people are running around and putting veils on. But the thing the Blair government seems not to understand, Chris, is that they are driving probably more women to the veil.
Oh, yes, I make a point of that, and many observers over here made that point. Of course, what you'll do is you'll make more young women, especially, you know, they'll feel their community is being attacked, and they want to show it. But another thing, though, I mean, again, the veil is not really the question. We, you know, I mean, there's a very good and reasonable debate to be made about the veil, and that debate is going on in the Muslim community and has been for many years, and it's something that they can work out themselves. But I forgot my point, actually.
No, that's okay. No, I think I understand where you're going. The fact that it's another way of radicalizing Islam, making Islam spookier. If you can get more people, it's a very subtle piece of demonization, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, and I finally remember my point. The point is also that in Britain, you're talking about the veil. It's what you're talking about when you have Blair and all his ministers jump on this issue. You're talking about the most powerful people in the country. These are the most powerful people in the country. They are ensconced in wealth and privilege. They all come out of Oxford and Cambridge and Eton, this little nexus of elite people that's, you know, even worse than the Harvard-Yale nexus over in America. They're the most powerful people, the most connected people in the nation over here. And they're directing all this thunder at what is almost certainly the weakest, most vulnerable section of society, which is veiled, which is the small, tiny minority of veiled Muslim women. What power do they have in Britain? They have no power. They don't even have any power in their family. They don't even have any power over their bodies because someone's making them wear the veil, or some of them take the veil, you know, because they want it. But, I mean, this is a very representative of what's going on, this asymmetrical conflict. You know, the most powerful, protected people, and as you say, they're demonizing and they're thundering against a very weak minority, and why? To demonize them and to take away, as I put in articles, almost to make these people the scapegoats, you know. As you pointed out before, it's Blair and Bush who have led to the deaths of 650,000 innocent people. Now, there's where the sin is. There's aggressive war, a war of aggression in Iraq, which is, you know, it was a war crime that they tried the Nazis for. Now, there's where your sin is. But what they want to do is put the sin on the backs of these, powerless minority. Oh, and, you know, they're the other. You're right, they're the other. They're weird, they're bad. And so we demonize them. And that's what's causing all the conflict in society. You know, this is what Blair said. That's what they say. This is why we have so much unrest, because we have, you know, 3% of our population, of which a minuscule sliver sometimes wears a veil. You know, it's just, it's ludicrous on its face, but it's sinister in its effect.
Very sinister. Chris, I know you've had a little bout with the flu or something. I hope you're feeling better. And I thank you very kindly for joining us this evening. And please feel free to join us again if you're up for having a late night.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm usually up this time of night working anyway, so that's good.
Yeah, that's kind of high. It's the only time you can get anything done these days, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if the sun's up, somebody wants you for something.
That's true, I know.
Hey, Chris, have a great morning, and thank you again. Thank you so very kindly.
Okay, well, happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our good friend Chris Floyd calling from the United Kingdom. So are you a little bit creeped out now? How about advise? How about, sentiment analysis? Here, let me make it real simple for the sentiment analysis people. I loathe George Bush. I loathe his government. I loathe his administration. He gives me heartburn. He makes me grieve for what has happened to this once great nation. simple enough? I loathe what he does to working people. I loathe his stinking, rotten party that wants to pass tax cuts for Paris Hilton and Anna Nicole Smith, and they can't see their way to a $2 raise for working poor people in America. Put that in your sentiment analysis system and smoke it. This is the Head On Radio Network. Every bit of a year old tonight. Your calls are welcome. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going in. Engines stop running, but I have no fear. Cause London is drowning. I live by the river, to the imitation zone. Forget it, brother.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
That the man who ran looked a lot like me. Well, the judge said, son, what's your alibi? If you're somewhere else, well, you don't have to die. And I spoke a naughty word, though it meant my life. I'd been in the arms of my best friend.
Yeah, welcome back to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And let's, after that most excellent conversation with Chris Floyd from Truth Out, let's go straight to the phones. Sarge is calling from Southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Warren, the best liberal network there is.
Appreciate that.
And I guess it's appropriate that I give you a really amazing report. Ray and I, of course, as you know, we've been down on the Mississippi coast, and we spent some time in Jackson County, and we managed to pull out a couple of interviews. And there was some really, really strange stuff going on. And fortunately, what we heard ties into something that I heard talking with a Department of Homeland Security guy that popped up in the conversation today. And there, I mean, I wish I could have had me a tape recorder, but my tape recorder wasn't working.
Oh, no.
So, and it was during the time that Mark was on, so there wasn't a live broadcast, so we had to wait for 20 minutes. And so I called Guy and asked him, Guy, is there any way that you can record this thing? You know, because I knew he had a really nice studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Guy says, Sarge, he said, man, I can't right now because it was just too close to the air, and it, the show coming on air. And, by the time, it took to get it set up, it would just interfere with getting on the air. So, I could do it, but I just don't have the time right now to set it up.
Sure.
And of course, Ray had his laptop with him, but there was no way to record off of it. So what we did was we talked to the two women for about 15 minutes, and they told us some of the most unbelievable stuff you will ever hear. For instance, what's happening is when FEMA gets these things, it goes through certain organizations. These organizations take what they want out of the goods that are sent for the people from FEMA. They are not released to the public. Then the different organizations, it goes down a chain of command, I guess you could call it, or pecking order, whatever term you want to use,
mm-hmm.
and they take what they want out of it, and the public is still not allowed to get any of it. All right, by the time it gets down to the people, two-thirds or more of it is gone, and usually what's left is just what they didn't want, you know.
Yeah.
The people have been told not to talk to the media very much. They're trying to really shut down the media. And one of the people that I interviewed, her mother worked for one of these organizations that gets their take.
Well, what kind of, I mean, it sounds like you don't want to go into tremendous detail, but what kind of organizations are we talking about here? I mean, charitable organizations, faith-based organizations, governmental organizations, what?
I think it's a little bit of everything, because the way it was told to me, it just goes through a priority list, and I'm from what I understood of it.
This sounds like, Sarge, pardon me for interrupting you, but this sounds like the kind of crap that goes on in Somalia.
It is, and I'm going to tell you, one of the ladies that I interviewed today had cancer. She has lung cancer. She's a widow. She's got children. She is sitting in a small camper trailer with children, and she broke down crying several times during the interview. And you can see the stress and the strain, and those people are scared out of their ever-loving mind. I have been in areas where wars have taken place, and I didn't see the fear there that I saw today. I mean, you heard what Jerron said last night?
Yeah. Gara?
As hard as what she said sounds, she was being nice in her description. I mean, it was even worse than she described. And I got other leads that I'm following up on.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I wanted to mention, Sarge. You can, when the recorder, we're kind of spoiled by our technological age, but when the recorder busts and the computer don't work and the camera's gone, there are note, as long as there's a notepad and a piece of paper and you can get a name and you can write down quotes from people, you know, that the fact is, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know,
right.
That's real journalism.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, we also, got a tip that, the place we were in, one of them, they have a recording that goes on of every word that's said inside that building. So there is a possibility there's a recording.
Well, that's...
I will pass that on along to some other people that I'm keeping in.
Well, how much traveling did you and Ray do today?
Well, we went down from... Well, Ray came from Baton Rouge,
right,
to Columbia, which is in Marion County. Then we went from Marion County into Harrison County and went down through Gulfport and... went through there and looked at all the pretty casinos. Gosh, they got those casinos looking good.
Yeah, but yeah.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to tell
you. It's the miracle of the free market, isn't it, Sarge?
You know, it was like I was telling Joe. I looked at the casinos where we were standing, and I could see the casinos, and, man, they were beautiful. I mean, and one of them was open, one of them was not. But you could tell they are just unbelievable. They're better than they were before the storm. And I've been down there, so I know what I'm talking about there. And they have rebuilt these things. They're up, and they're nice. They're getting up more and more up every day. And then while you're standing there looking at that beautiful casino, I forget the name of it. I'm sure Ray couldn't remember. But when you're looking at it, and you see the flashing, beautiful flashing sign and the exquisite decor and the beauty of the structure, and you turn around and look in the housing area right across the street, and every one of those houses is just in shambles. It is. Look.
Well, no. I mean, no. That's all we really need to know about the priorities of the Bush administration. Get the gambling hells open. And, you know, look, I'm not going to sit here and be Mr. Moral and say, you know, you shouldn't gamble. You know, you want to gamble, gamble. But you know what? There's more at stake than that.
Well, now, I'm going to tell you, I talked to a Department of Homeland Security agent yesterday. And he was a real... I can't use the word on there, but you can figure it out.
Horse's ass?
He was worse. You know, I mean, he would have been insulting to a horse's ass, okay?
Okay.
And he was really, I asked him one question, and he went off on me and started trying to quiz me to make me tell him my sources. And I said, no.
Naughty.
I'll just write down in my column that you refuse to speak to me without knowing my sources, and I'm not telling you that. So I will just mention what a fine fellow you are and being so cooperative in answering the question.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, that's a legitimate journalistic tool. You know, so-and-so was asked for comment and refused to do so.
Well, see, Ray and I both have journalistic experience. I worked for a newspaper for 8 years, and I did investigative reporting for them, and Ray has done investigative reporting, too, so he's not exactly talking to someone that hadn't been there before. I never covered anything of this nature or magnitude, but this guy's name surfaced